this week felt like AI went from cute helper to, okay, this is now part of the platform, not just in your IDE. It's showing up in CI, incident response, and in the places where mistakes become expensive. Also, Azure had one of those outages that doesn't just break a service. It breaks your ability to operate the service. And that one always hits different. Welcome back to Ship It Weekly. I'm Brian from Teller's Tech, and this is Ship It Weekly, the DevOps and SRE news show for people who actually get paged. All links are in the show notes on shipitweekly.fm. And a quick ask up front, if you're getting value out of the show, hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, a rating helps a lot. Even a quick review is huge for discoverability. All right, five main stories for today. One, the Azure Control Plane incident and why it creates the most annoying type of failure. Two, GitHub leaning harder into multi-agent dev with Claude and Codex in the loop, plus actions getting a little less painful. Three, Claude Opus 4.6 and the real difference between better model and new failure mode. Four, Google talking openly about SREs using Gemini CLI during outages. 5. The connective tissue story, MCP as plumbing, and observability getting pulled into the AI platform Gravity Well. Then we'll do a lightning round, then a quick follow-up on Ingress Nginx and N8N since we covered those in previous episodes. And we'll close with a human closer around trust, guardrails, and why agentic work is not a free lunch. Story 1. Azure incident. VM management ops gets weird, and that ripples everywhere. So what happened? Azure had a platform incident that impacted VM management operations across multiple regions. So not a VM went down, more like the thing that manages VMs is degraded. Create, update, scale, start, stop. The day two operations that every platform team builds automation around. And when that gets weird, you feel it everywhere. Because it's not just VMs, it's autoscaling, it's instance group updates, it's node pulls trying to heal, it's pipeline steps that assume I can always start a node or I always roll a deployment. So why does it matter? This is the outage category I hate the most because it creates misleading symptoms. Your app might look up. Your load balancers are still answering. Your metrics are fine until they aren't. But deploys start hanging. Scaleouts don't happen. Rollbacks don't apply cleanly. And you end up in this gray zone where everyone is arguing about whether it's our code or the cloud. And here's the key point. Most teams build reliability thinking about the data plane, requests, latency, error rates, but control plane failures break your ability to respond. If you can't change the system, you can't mitigate. And it turns a 15-minute incident into a 2-hour incident purely because you can't operate your own platform. And if you've ever been stuck in a loop where you're trying to fix something and all your fixing tools are failing too, that's what this is. So what do you do Monday? Go look at your automation paths and ask a boring question. What happens when the control plane is slow or degraded? Do you have retries with exponential backoff, or do you have hammer it until it works? Do you have timeouts that fail safely, or do you have jobs that hang forever? Because a lot of people accidentally build infinite retry storms into their pipelines. And the control plane is exactly where that becomes self-inflicted pain. Also, do you have a decision point in your incident process that says, stop trying to change the system, stabilize, communicate, wait for the provider? That's hard to do because it feels like giving up, but sometimes it's the correct move. And one more thing. If your response plan assumes you can always add capacity or always recreate nodes or always scale out, make sure you have a mitigation that doesn't require that. Sometimes the right move is degrade features instead of add servers. Sometimes it's shift traffic instead of rebuild. And you only learn that when you talk through it before the outage. All right, that's story one. Story two is GitHub leaning into multi-agent dev. And there's a bunch of practical implications for platform teams hiding under the surface. So story two is GitHub multi-agent in the workflow plus actions getting less painful. What happened? GitHub rolled out Agent HQ support for using Anthropic Claude and OpenAI Codex in GitHub and VS Code alongside Copilot. So instead of Copilot only, it's more like pick the agent that's best for the job. And GitHub Actions shipped workflow updates too, including a case function in expressions. If you've ever had a workflow where the logic is basically a pile of nested ands and pipes, you probably just felt your shoulders drop a little. So why does it matter? Two reasons. First, multi-agent is an emission of reality. People are already switching between tools. Cursor, Copilot, Claude Code, whatever. Different models are better at different things. Some are better at refactors. Some are better at reasoning through messy requirements. Some are better at quick code completion. GitHub putting multiple models in the same surface is them trying to become the control plane for AI-assisted development. And if you are a platform team, that matters. Because the moment these tools can open PRs and modify workflows, they are part of your software supply chain. Second, actions changes matter because CI is still where a ton of production risk lives. Workflow changes are not just developer productivity. They are permissions. They are secrets. They are build artifacts. They are deployment paths. So if you are enabling AI agents in that world, you should treat it the way that you'd treat any automation. Not cool ship it, more like cool, what's the blast radius? So what do you do Monday? If you want to test agent PRs, do it like onboarding a new engineer. Start with read-only or low-risk tasks. Have it summarize failing CI. Have it draft release notes. Have it propose a change and explain why, but don't let it merge. And keep it out of workflow files and infra repos until you've decided what your governance is. Because workflow files are basically production code. Now, about that case function. That sounds tiny, but here's what it really buys you. It lets you reduce clever logic and replace it with readable logic. And readable CI is safer CI. Because the number of incidents that start with why did this deploy to prod is not zero. If your CI logic is hard to reason about, you are one sleepy reviewer away from a bad day. Also, a quick mid-episode reminder. If you are enjoying the show, hit follow or subscribe. It's a small thing, but it helps a ton. That's story two. Story three is Opus 4.6. Story three is Opus 4.6, and I want to talk about this in a way that's actually useful, not just the new model dropped. Claude Opus 4.6, the real change is trust and longer running work. Anthropic released Claude Opus 4.6. They are positioning it as better at agentic tasks, longer horizons, more reliable multi-step work, more give me a goal, I'll do a thing behavior. So why does it matter? Here's the trap. When people say better model, a lot of folks hear cool, the answers will be a little smarter. But the bigger shift is behavioral. When the tool gets good enough, people start delegating bigger chunks of work. Not rewrite this function, more like implement this feature. Or refactor this module, or update these workflows, or go fix the failing tests. And that's where the failure mode changes, because now it's not the assistant gave me a wrong answer, it's the assistant completed a plan that was subtly wrong. And it did it confidently, and it did it across 15 files. So now you've got to do a different kind of review. Not just does this compile, more like does this match intent? And also, did it change anything surprising? Because agents are really good at making changes that look plausible. So what do you do Monday? If you are using these tools seriously, I think teams need a new habit. Spec first. Even lightweight. Before you let the agent touch the repo, you want a short plan. What are you changing? Why? What does done look like? What are the risks? What test will it prove? Because without that, the agent will happily fill in the blanks with something that feels right, but isn't. Also, decide what you consider sacred ground. For a lot of teams, that's CI workflows, IAM, network policy, and anything that changes prod deployment behavior. If an agent is going to touch those, that should be behind stricter review. Two humans minimum, no auto merge, and probably a show me exactly what changed and why requirement. And if you are a security-minded org, this is the week to remind people AI capacity upgrades help defenders and attackers. It's easier to find bugs. It's easier to exploit them, too. So the defense is still the same boring stuff. Least privilege, secrets hygiene, fast patching, and not letting random automation have right access to the keys to the kingdom. That's story three. Story four is Google talking about SREs using Gemini CLI in outages. And this is where the AI and the ops conversation gets real. Google SREs Gemini CLI as an outage sidekick. What happened? Google published a write-up on SREs using Gemini CLI during real outages. The framing is basically AI in the terminal as an incident companion. They're using it to classify symptoms, pull context, suggest mitigations, and reduce the early incident chaos. So why does it matter? This is the direction a lot of teams want to go, even if they're not saying it out loud. Because the hardest part of incident response is not typing commands. It's context. What changed? What's impacted? What are the known safe mitigations? What's the fastest way to reduce customer pain? And under stress, humans drop context. We forget what we already tried. We lose track of timelines. We waste cycles writing status updates that are vague because nobody has the full picture. So the AI as scribe idea is actually super compelling. You let the tool do the relentless bookkeeping. Summarize logs, pull the last deploy, list recent config changes, draft a timeline, draft a status update, draft a mitigation checklist based on the runbook. If you can reliably do those things faster, you've bought the humans time to think. And time to think is basically MTTR reduction. But there's an obvious danger. The moment you let AI run commands, you have to treat it like any other automation with prod access. You don't give it a shell and vibes. You give it narrow tools, and you build guardrails. So what do you do Monday? If you want to copy this pattern without being Google, start with the safe version. Make an incident helper that is read-only. It can query logs. It can query metrics. It can pull deployment history. It can draft comms. And it can suggest mitigations from the runbook, but a human has to execute. That alone is valuable, and it's a good stepping stone, because the minute you jump straight to AI executes mitigation, you are going to have trust problems. And trust problems become adoption problems. And then this whole thing turns into a failed experiment. So start small, prove it helps, and build from there. That's story four. Story five is the this will matter more over time story. MCP and the platform layer that's forming around agents. AI is becoming platform plumbing, MCP, governance, and observability consolidation. We are seeing vendors rally around MCP, the Model Context Protocol, as a way to connect agents to tools and data sources. Miro launched an MCP server story to connect collaboration artifacts into AI coding tools. Kong announced an MCP registry angle for governance and tool discovery. So we are moving towards a world where agents can be given tools in a standardized way. And in parallel, observability is getting pulled into the AI orbit. Moves like Snowflake planning to acquire Observe are basically saying telemetry is data and we want AI sitting on top of it. So why does this matter? Let me translate MCP into normal person ops language. It's basically a standard way to say, here are the tools an agent can use, here's how it calls them, and here's the context it can see. And if that becomes common, platform teams are going to have a new inventory problem. What agents exist? What tools do they have access to? What credentials are behind those tools? What data sources are exposed? What's logged? what's audited, and who owns the thing when it breaks. Because if you don't handle this like a real integration layer, you will end up with shadow agents the way we ended up with shadow CI jobs and shadow admin access. And on observability, the shift is also real. More companies want log retention. They want to correlate telemetry with business events. They want to ask what changed across logs, traces, config, and deploy history. Then they want AI to help explain it. That's powerful, but it also turns observability into governance, PII risk, access controls, data retention policy, cost controls. Because if you keep all telemetry forever, you can easily build a compliance nightmare and a gigantic bill. So what do you do Monday? If MCP is showing up in your org, treat it like production integration, not a toy. You want ownership. You want access controls. You want an inventory. You want a default deny stance. And you want audit logs. Because the first time an agent does something surprising, the only thing that will save you is knowing what it did and why. And for observability, if you are exploring AI there, don't start with let's let a model roam through prod logs. Start with specific measurable wins. Better incident timeline creation. Better alert deduping. Better correlation across services. Faster what changed answers. Then measure if it actually reduces pager pain and toil. All right, time for the lightning round. All right, lightning round. GitHub Actions hosted runners had an incident this week where jobs queued, timed out, and people had a rough morning. It's a good reminder that hosted is not the same as immune. If CI is business critical, know what your fallback is. Docker patched an Ask Gordon issue. And even if you don't care about the specifics, the theme matters. If you are feeding AI systems untrusted input, including metadata, you can accidentally build a prompt injection path into your workflow. Treat AI inputs like any other untrusted input. Terraform 1.15 alpha dropped. Not a headline, but worth noting for platform folks. Deprecation warnings for variables and outputs is the kind of feature that makes shared modules easier to evolve without surprise breaks. And Wiz wrote up the Maltbook situation. Misconfigured backend, tons of exposed API keys and sensitive data. It's a perfect vibe coding meets production credentials cautionary tale. Also, a quick mention from the open source side. ChainGuard's Emerit OSS effort is an interesting trend. Commercial orgs stepping in to maintain projects that everyone depends on, but nobody wants to own. You don't need to have a strong opinion on it yet, but it is worth watching. And a couple of quick follow-ups. Ingress Nginx had multiple issues disclosed and fixed versions called out. If you run Ingress Nginx, double-check your versions and patch. And N8N is still in the patch fast and treat your automation layer like a control plane category. If you are running workflow automation tools, assume they are part of your perimeter. And here's the human theme this week. We keep talking about agents like they remove humans from the loop. They don't. They move humans to a different part of the loop. The hard part is shifting from can I run the command to can I decide what to trust? And then can I recover cleanly when the automation does something confidently wrong? Because with agents, the risk isn't the tool is dumb. The risk is that the tool is competent enough that people stop double checking. And the first time that that happens in prod, you get a weird kind of incident. Not a bug, not a bad deploy, more like automation drift. Everyone thought the automation was safe. Then one day it does the wrong thing and nobody notices until it's already rolled. So if you are adopting this stuff, the boring work is the real work. Guardrails, approvals, ownership, audit trails, and clear stop the line rules. Because the future isn't no humans. It's humans overseeing more automation. And that's its own skill. All right, time for a recap. We had five main stories for today. Azure reminded us the cloud control plane is part of the product, and it can absolutely be your incident even when your app is fine. GitHub is going multi-agent with Claude and Codex, and Actions got a little less painful with better workflow logic. Opus 4.6 pushed agent workflows further into the mainstream, and the real risk is trust and multi-step changes. Google is using Gemini CLI in real SRE outage work, which is basically the AI and ops playbook taking shape. And MCP plus AI-driven observability is turning into platform plumbing. And platform teams are going to own governance whether they want to or not. And the lightning round was GitHub Actions hosted runners having an incident, Docker patching an Ask Gordon AI supply chain issue, Terraform 1.15 alpha, the Moltbook credential exposure story, and the Emirate OSS maintenance trend. All links are in the show notes on shipitweekly.fm. If you made it this far, hit follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. And if you can, drop a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. It helps more than you think. All right, I'll see you next week.